Praise God. He is worthy of all praise, isn't he? I'm putting together a sermon right now when praise turns into worship, amen? So just be expecting that, because that's going to be a shipwreck service, as we call it. So we're excited about what God is going to do with that message. But today, everybody say today. Today, God has got a message just for you. Before I get started today, I want to remind you, we've canceled evening service. We'll have everything up to 4:30, which we always do. But we've canceled evening service this evening in honor of Pastor Phillips' funeral services tonight that we'll have from 3 to 7. It's a New Life Church, and many of you know, and I covet and appreciate your prayers. That's very hard as my spiritual mentor, even though he called me his bishop. I mean, he meant the world to me. And so it's been a trying week this week, but I'm going to ask you to continue to pray for his church, New Life Church, and that God will continue to take it forward, that there won't be anything come into shipwreck it, amen? He's left a legacy, and we're going to help as best we can as a church to keep pushing that forward. So we need your prayers. We covet your prayers for that. Also pray for his family, and this is a very hard time for them, as you know. And Sister Phillips, his wife, said it the best. She said, the easy part's dying. She said, the hard part's being left behind, and that's absolutely the truth. So we've all experienced that to some extent or another, but you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So even as bad as I miss my brother, I know he don't want to come back, amen? So you know, just remember today as we go through those services and the funeral tomorrow, and as us pastors all speak, it's going to be an incredible opportunity to share what a great man of God and what a legacy he left, amen? So we're excited to share that, but today, okay, remember I had you say today. Today. Today, there's a message for you today, and they can go ahead and pop it up on the screen here, but when your mess becomes a message, amen? So if you've ever had a mess and it had to become a message, you know what I'm talking about. And for those of you who's never had a mess that had to be turned into a message, then you're off the hook today. Because here's the thing, you say, man, I better check that out, because one of these days, I'm going to have a mess and I'm going to have a message out of it. We don't often like to have a mess in our lives. And some of us, like myself, likes order. We like things done right. And we kind of cross our T's, dot our I's. And it seems like we're trying to always go in the proper direction. But don't you know that the enemy is the counterfeit, and he always has something in store for you as well. So as we begin to understand what the enemy does, we got to understand nothing further than John 10:10. We always talk about that scripture. To me, that kind of dials in that there's an adversary, that there's a Lord also, and we've got to get that deep in our spirit. In John 10:10, it says that the thief, Beelzebub, Slewfoot, Lucifer, whatever you want to call that rotten, no good for nothing devil, okay? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And before he can kill or destroy something, he's got to steal something, amen? And then he can kill and destroy. But there's a comma there, and where God put a comma in his word, we never dare put a period. Because right there, what happened, there's a comma, then it says, but Christ came so we can have a life of abundance. Can everybody say amen? So we begin to understand that we have a Redeemer. We begin to understand that we're all rotten, dying, decaying flesh, okay? Let's keep it real. Each one of us is fallible. Each one of us wears skin. And as long as we wear this skin, we're going to always think we're all right. But where the truth is, we're all messed up. Because the only thing that's good in us is the risen Christ that died on the cross, amen? And we're going to celebrate this over the next 2 weeks and really get this dropped into our spirit. But if it wasn't for that deposit of the Spirit that's been left inside of us, there's nothing good in me. Can you say amen? See, so often we think it's all about us. We think that we got it all figured out. Well, sometimes it seems like we might have it figured out by the world's standards, but so often we find ourselves at a dead end or a place or a crossroad where we're standing in the middle of the road and we get rolled over. Now, when your mess becomes a message is what I want to preach on today. If you have your Bibles, and I would love for you to turn over to Jeremiah with me, the book of Jeremiah, in the first chapter. When you're there, say amen. And if you're not there, say, oh my, I'm glad they're going to put it on the screen. All right? And I'll give you a second to get there, but to understand Jeremiah and what's going on here is the call of Jeremiah. And I really want to take you in this direction today in the first chapter of Jeremiah. I want to take you in the direction of this Old Testament teaching. I want you to know, understand this, that God has called every single person that sits here in the sound of my voice. Whether you think you're called for God's work or not, I want to prove to you today, some of you is not listening, some of you has waited too long, but God's about to bring you around into what he's called you to. But all of a sudden, we begin to look at what's going on here, and we begin to see what Jeremiah has. If we'd stand, if everybody could stand in the auditorium, please. We want to talk about the call of Jeremiah, and I would like for you to read along with me as I read aloud. And hear this word. I'll be in verses, and I'll focus on verses 4 through 10 this morning, and then I'm just going to take off and preach just for a few minutes. But in Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet of the nations." Now, that right there, if anybody likes to talk about the Lord to other people, make you want to preach, amen? Because I'm telling you, he says, I chose you, I appointed you, and I have got a call for you. Now, everybody take their finger and point at yourself. He's talking to me. He's talking to me. This is personal, and a personal God that we have. Let's go on in verse 6. It says, "Allah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young." So all the way back in Jeremiah, we see the excuses that I'm just too young, nobody will listen to me. College people, you hear me? I'm too young, nobody going to listen to me. Hogwash. The world's dying waiting for you to stand up and tell them how it is, amen? You got a message to shut up inside of you today. You had a mess, and God's going to make it a message today. Can you say amen? Listen, no excuses. In verse 7, it said, "But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am too young." Uh-oh, I just went ahead and got ahead of myself. "You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. In verse 9, "Then the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth." Phew. What make you want to preach, don't it? He said, "I have put my words in your mouth. You can't, but I can," amen? Let me keep going here. "I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you." Everybody say, "He appoints me." "I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Heavenly Father, we just ask right now, as we are partaking in your word and your service, Father, that you would be glorified. God, we would ask through this teaching in Jeremiah, Father God, that you would come alive in us from this Old Testament teaching to the new times today. That, Father, your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, we would ask that you would show up and show out in this service. God, as we come before you with the reading of the scripture, God, we would pray that you would open our blind eyes, unstuff our clogged ears, open our hardened hearts to God, and allow us to come to the foot of the cross in repentance, Father God, unto your word. God, today we are here to receive. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin to look at this scripture in Jeremiah, when you heard this scripture, all of a sudden everybody's like, wow. That's how it makes you feel as a Christian, right? But then all of a sudden, what I want to show you today is what happens is that we all have those moments when we know that we know that we know that God's called us to do something. And then all of a sudden, the kids will distract you, college will distract you, your parents will distract you, a job will distract you, education distracts you, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, you begin to make excuses. Everybody say excuses. Now listen, you can do better than that. Say excuses. Rotten, no good for nothing, sorry, I'm lukewarm excuses. See, I know how to say it, amen? I practice, though, all right? But we always have excuses and distractions. So we get to looking at this. What in the world is really going on here? Ever since the day you were born, the devil has set out to destroy you and the ministry that God has breathed in you when you was in your mother's womb. From your mother's womb, Satan tried to kill you, whether you think he did or not. He has succeeded today with abortion. He succeeded today with murder. He has succeeded today with the gun violence. He has succeeded today when we are casting out and allowing our kids to be raised in fatherless homes. He's succeeding with everything that's going on. It's destroying the thing called family today. The enemy is succeeding. Everybody say he's succeeding. We don't got to like it, but let me go ahead and preach it. Satan tried somehow to keep you down so that you would never have a relationship, especially a personal relationship, with a risen Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. And you know that every time that you had a mess, nobody had to come and remind you, hey, you in a mess. Because every time that living spirit that's inside of you called the Holy Spirit would rise up, knock on your door, say, knock it off, turn it around, quit, and we would choose to go forward instead of stopping. And right now, the enemy is doing the best he can to destroy your walk with God. He'll do anything he can. He'll use that man. He'll use that woman. He'll use that finance. He'll use that drug. He'll use that alcohol. He'll use that whatever. Why? Because God is about to give you a great turnaround. Now, everybody say, turn around. Everybody say, turn around like you need it. I mean, turn around like you need it. Say, turn around. And say, I'm turning around. See, you know, today I want you to have this deep in your spirit. I'm not going to speak it again, but I want you to understand this message is about a turnaround. I'm here today with God's word and nothing more for you to encourage you to turn it around. What you need to quit doing is looking at your neighbor, looking at everybody else, looking at your pastor, and looking at your church, and begin to look at what you need to personally get out of this message that you can glean for it, that you can go into the harvest field, that you can glean and pick up the seed that you need that's been dropped down, that you can know that without a shadow of a doubt that God has called you to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto all nations, and it doesn't matter what the enemy says. He's been lying long enough. He's robbed you. He stole. He's killed. And it's time for you to stand up today and be counted for. It's time for you to know no matter where you've been, God's bigger than the circumstance. It doesn't matter how long you've been down. You're about to stand up, amen. It don't matter every time you've been hit. It's only made you stronger, amen. It don't matter what's been taken away from you. God is about to use that for increase in the name of Jesus, amen. And all of a sudden, God's going to show up in the mess you could create. And he's going to begin to use it as a message. Can you shout amen? God has got a message for your life today. Amen. He is worthy. The call of Jeremiah. All of a sudden, we begin to look at the scripture of Jeremiah. Are you excited today? Oh, man, when I begin to hear the word of God and I can begin to assign it to me, all of a sudden it becomes the living word, amen. And you go ahead and put your name in there where Jeremiah is, and you begin to look at things when he begins to talk to you. And he said, I appointed you and put your name in there. I said, yes. And he said, I called you. And I said, yes. And he said, I told you I would never leave you. And you can say, yes. And you know that every place he's taking you to, he'll certainly see you through, amen. So we begin to look at the excitement of the word. Everybody say, I'm excited. We begin to look at that Old Testament word that today that some of the churches say is dead. Look, it's confirmation that God's up to something in our mess that we created. He's up to creating a message. And all of a sudden, we begin to look like in verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Oh, hallelujah. We like to say abortion's okay. It's not okay. It never has been, never will be. It ain't okay. See, all of a sudden, the devil comes in and uses murder to say it's okay. But all of a sudden, it's not okay. He knew you in the womb. He knew you in the womb, and before you was ever spoken, he said, I knew you. I cared about you, and I loved you, and I created you from the beginning of time when I was on the cross. I knew you. It's not okay. Amen? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And here it is. I appointed you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I appointed you to walk into my church, to Cedarville University, Wittenberg, Wright State, or wherever you're at on your job. He appointed you to take the gospel, a message of hope and salvation, into a world that's lost and dying. Why wouldn't the world try to make the Lord try to help you? And the enemy wants to make a mess out of it. You know what I'm saying, right? All of a sudden, everybody knows you're a Christian, and you say, I can't even open my mouth no more. I've been so humiliated, embarrassed, and beat down. Right? That's all of us pretty much, because we've been poor witnesses. We haven't taken it when he told us to take it. The person sitting to you right by beside you now said, yeah, I know you when you get home. You ain't nothing like you is in church. Everybody, go ahead and nudge him while I ain't looking, all right? All right, get that out of the way. Verse 5, God knew you as he knew Jeremiah. Listen to me. Prophetically speaking, back into the book of Jeremiah, God knew you when you was in the womb. Long before you was ever born, he thought about you. And here's the thing, it said he planned for you. He dropped a word inside you. Who's called in here to preach the gospel? Come on, every hand ought to be up in the air, every single hand. Here's the thing. Most people look up there and say, that's the pastor's job. You preach, all right? My job is the pastor, okay? That's different. That's the one, that's the shepherd, that's the leader, that's the one that's supposed to be the example and hold and keep the sheep. Now, sheep, you're the sheep, all right? That means you're the stubborn ones, right? Sometimes it rubs off on the shepherd, too. But listen, here's the thing. Each and every one of us is called to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to know who that is you. If you want to see some of the most powerful stuff in the world, I walk into a daycare, and a five-year-old boy walks up to me, and listen to me, some of you got your kids in here. This is not the kids' service, but that's all right. You're going to hear some adult stuff. But a five-year-old kid walk up to you, and they come up to you, and they begin to, he laid hands on me, and he began to pray for me. He began to say, God, this is God's anointed right here. And I was like, what in the world is going on? And all of a sudden, he began to lay hands on me, and he began to pray. And all of a sudden, I went from what's going on to give it to me, little brother, man. Let me have some of that anointing. See, there's a call to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But until you get your kids in tune with God, you're going to be worrying about everything they're doing wrong, acting wrong, saying wrong. And they're acting like the world and acting all foolish and everything. Brother Will, we just talked about this. But all of a sudden, your kids aren't completely out of control. How about leading them to the foot of the cross and allowing something to get a hold of them that's undeniable? How about allowing my little 7-year-old grandson that ain't never had a music lesson in his life get up there and just play his little heart out for the Lord? How about them standing back and praising God, and when they see someone hurting in school, laying hands on them in the name of Jesus, be set free? How about letting the word come to life? Amen. How about not being ashamed so he ain't got to be ashamed of us? How about having a Jeremiah experience? Amen. And allow that living word to come alive in you. He says, I have appointed you. He says he thought about what he had planned for you at the beginning when you felt and when you still feel discouraged or inadequate. Remember, God has always thought of you as valuable. Hallelujah. So when you're at a place, when I walk in and you're drug addicted, incarcerated, anything that you might be, I love to lay hands on you because I begin to tell you the truth, amen? And the truth isn't me, the truth is the Word of God. And all of a sudden, when you assign value back to someone using the Word of God, you'll see them rise up and you'll see them run into the battle and they'll begin to fight the good fight. See, all of a sudden, you'll see fire come up inside of somebody. Now, see, we was at leadership conference 2 weeks ago, and all you leaders is with me, raise your hand. Are you the same as you was 2 weeks ago? No. I'm sorry? You ain't the same? No. See, what it was about was keeping the flame, being ignited, understanding that God didn't call us to be wishy-washy. He didn't call us to be normal. He didn't call us to do everything everybody else is doing. He called us to ignite the flame, amen? He said you might have to trim your wick back, but the truth is this, is that when you in Christ, you on fire for God because there's a light that's inside of you that can't be hidden, amen? And all of a sudden, you'll see what God has for you. Well, this next weekend coming up, shame on you young people, amen? If you're gone and you're 12 to 18 years old, there's a bunch going, you ain't going to come back the same. Amen? Because when you go there, it's still called the equippers of the flame. Amen? It's time for us to reach all the way back to our 12-year-olds and our 18-year-olds and begin to tell them that you are a keeper of the flame. Amen? You a keeper of the Word of God. You a keeper of the truth. It doesn't matter what the world's showing you. It doesn't matter what your parents have showed to you and your parents have done a poor job. We have so much. Amen? But it's time for the kids to know that I'm going to bypass all of that and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at any cost, no matter what happens. He has always had purpose for you in mind since the beginning of time. Jeremiah was appointed by God as a prophet to the nations. In God's word, it says that you was appointed by God as his prophetic person to take this message of hope and salvation into a lost and dying world. Listen, his word says, I have appointed you. And we get that deep in our spirit today. God has a purpose for each Christian. Some are appointed by God for specific kinds of work. Some of us are appointed by God to pastor a church. Some of us are appointed by God to be praise and worship leaders. Some of us are appointed by God to be a Sunday school teacher. Some of us are appointed by God to do jail ministry. Some of us are appointed for stuff specifically. Everybody say specific. But don't let it be confusing. Some are appointed by God for specific kinds of work. And if God has not given you a specific call and assignment, then you, everybody said me, who don't have an assignment yet? Here it comes. And then seek to fulfill the mission common to every single believer that there is, if you're a believer, to love, to obey, to serve God until his guidance becomes clear. Amen? That's what's being said in verse 5. Wow. Okay, God. Remember, this ministry that you set in today was with this an old hillbilly boy that was a redneck. It was me. no good for nothing, rotten, going to hell, on a highway to hell. But all of a sudden, God reached out and said, nah, get back over here. Then that old man, Sister Juanita's brother, that old man called me up there. And the very first words out of his mouth when I was mad at him for calling me up there, as he looked at me and his hands were standing like this. He smiled and he said, God been waiting on you a long time, boy. I looked at him, I said, you got the wrong dude. He said, just give me your hands. And that's the last thing I remember. He started praying for me, and I was broken. I accepted Christ. I cried, man, I repented. I didn't know that stuff could even come out of your body. But I began to change right there. If God has not given you that specific, listen, he wants you to love him and obey him and do what he's commanded you to do until he gives you the assignment. Once he gives you the assignment, look out. In verse 6 and 8, Jeremiah thought he was too young and he was too inexperienced. I am so sick and tired of hearing that. All right, if you can say I'm too busy or I'm too young, go ahead and if you can stretch your hand all the way over, start patting yourself on the back. You just come up with an excuse as old as the day as the Bible, amen. Listen, young people, God's called you to lead this nation. You hear me? I'm too old. I'm an old man now. I'm going to do my part, but young people, God has called you. I don't care if you're 13, 14, 15 years. I don't care how old my brother is, 7 years of age, nailed at an altar in the middle of a Sunday evening adult service at 7 years of age, and he began to feel the man's hand on his back, and this man began to tell him, you're called for a time such as this to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ into a lost and dying world. And my brother turned around at 7 years of age, and there wasn't nobody there. Then and only then did he know that without a shadow of a doubt that God had called him to preach the good news. To this day, at 50 years of age, he's went into all the world. He's in the worst place in Atlanta, Georgia. He has a mega church. God's blessing him and anointing him. And Dr. Chris Bone has taken that gospel to every corner of the earth. He just released another book and preaching, God, I know that you laid hands on me, that you called me, that you equipped me, that you appointed me. Listen, it's not only him. The problem is we don't want to listen. God has appointed you for a time such as this, and it's time for us to quit running from and run to the call that God has. Has on us. Go ahead and give him a hand clap. Jeremiah thought he was too young and inexperienced to be God's spokesman. Do not use a lack of self-confidence. Everybody say self-confidence as an excuse. God promised to rescue Jeremiah from the trouble. And if he rescued him from anything, he'll rescue us. But listen, not to keep trouble from coming into him is not what he said. Listen, if you walk into hell and kick the gates wide open, you're going to have some trouble, amen. And all of a sudden, when you begin to tell someone about Christ and they get mad at you, they lie about you, they gossip about you, who cares, amen. You go ahead and do what God called you to do because he said, I have appointed you, I have equipped you, and my words are inside of you. You go ahead and do what you want. And it took me all the way back to that young man with young faith, and all of a sudden I stood before a Muslim brother, and he opened up the Word of God, and he began to shred my faith. And I was just young into the Word, and I began to say, well, God, what can I say about this? And I asked him, I said, brother, do you believe like I do? He said, no, I don't believe nothing like you. I said, okay, man. I said, well, I don't really understand, but I understand this part. Stronger is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and I bind your lips in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, you know what God did? He bound his lips up. I said, woo, glory. That's all I needed was just to see God in action, but I had to release the action, amen. All of a sudden, I could see what God could do in the middle of that. Not to keep trouble from coming, but God did not insulate him from imprisonment, deportation, or the insults that's going to come. God does not keep us from encountering God, the life storms, but he still sees us through every storm that's going to come. Every one of them that you've got yourself into or someone's drug you into, the truth is God has got your back. In verses 9 and 10, God appointed Jeremiah to bring his word. As we begin to look at this, and remember, I'm talking to you, amen. You're the Jeremiah today I'm preaching to. God has appointed you to bring his word. The problem today is that we ain't smart enough. We ain't educated. What ifs and all the unknowns. Listen, I don't care what you've done. Take yourself off the hook because you ain't going to never be good enough or strong enough. But with the presence of a Holy Spirit dwelling and living inside of you, there ain't nothing that you can't do and there ain't nothing that you can't accomplish. See, what I'm talking to you about today, church, is I'm talking about a power of a living God. I'm not talking talking about you to you today about some dead, washed up, and a God of 2,000 years ago. I'm talking to you about a God that's alive today, amen. I'm talking to you today about a God that has risen, amen. I'm talking to you today about a God that went up on the cross, came down off the cross, and ascended into the heaven for you today. I'm talking about a God that's real, amen. And I'm telling you today, the problem with the church is we want a patty cake God, amen. We want one that don't want to call sin, sin. We want one that's just going to tell us everything that we want to hear. But let me tell you something, church. God wants us to walk in truth and walk in light, and he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and no one comes to the Father except through the Son. Can you shout amen? Amen. He is worthy. Jeremiah's work was to warn the nations about God's judgment of sin, and today that's what the church lacks, is we don't want to go anywhere and tell anybody that's wrong, that ain't going to work, and this and that. The truth is that God is telling us as his people, he shut up a word inside of us to go into all the nations and preach not opinion but truth, amen. And he says the truth is what will set them free. As believers, we are to share God's desire to reach the whole world and reach it for him, not us. He don't want us to go out and reach the whole world so we can fill up church seats or church pews. He doesn't want us to go out and collect tithes off the people in the streets. What he wants us to do is he wants us to bring people into the house of the Lord so they can have a loving, redeeming relationship with the Savior of the universe. What he wants is that once he gets inside of them, there's a power that's shut up inside of you. Look, I don't care if he's a prostitute. I don't care if he's drug addicted or alcohol addicted. I don't care if he's a lying, stealing, cheating, no good for nothing scoundrel. Once God moves up inside of you, you're all things are news, what the Word says, and all of a sudden you begin to know that no matter what the enemy didn't keep you from, God will see you through, amen. Right now, you are closer to God than you have ever been, and Satan is tugging at your soul so hard you can feel the pressure of hell trying to stop you from going forth in your ministry. You know that everything that you do and every time you go, it's met with discouragement. It's met with the naysayers. It's met with the gossip. It's met with whatever it is. Listen to me. I don't care how young or how old you are today. If you'll allow God to be shut up inside of your bones, I'm telling you, he'll come outside of you like a waterfall. When it hits, it splashes. When you walk, it happens, amen. All of a sudden, God's inside of you, and it comes out every pore inside of you. And when that old negative stuff that you've always had around you, you begin to walk in light, and you walk in the door, all of a sudden, people's going to see a brand new you, amen. They're going to see nothing but a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ, and they're going to look at you and they're going to judge you from your past, but you'll be able to walk into your future, amen. You'll be able to hold your hands up and see the nails pierced in your hands that you took because he took them for you, amen. It doesn't matter what you do, it's what he's going to do, amen. You are better than any trial that sets before you today, and God's got your back today. Will you surrender to him, amen? Hell's trying to stop you. Hell is trying to stop you. Hell is trying to stop you. That's what's after you. It's not God, and he ain't done it to you. All hell's breaking loose against you, and it does not want your family to be successful. It does not want your ministry to go forward. It does not want your children to be successful. It does not want your kids to have a father in the home. It does not want you to be successful with finances or in marriage. It does not. All hell is coming after you. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The day is near is my next scripture in Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, the end is near. The end is very near. And let me explain this to you. I've done enough heroin death, overdose funerals and stuff in the last few months. I don't care to do any more. Okay, you think you got it all figured out, you end up in hell. Okay, I've done so many young people's funerals in the last 10 years that I don't care to do anymore. You think I got, Pastor Phillips and I talked about retirement. He said, well, my dad's 86, and you know, if I can just hang in another 20 years, and he's 66 years of age, he went to be with the Lord. See, we talked about this stuff, but the truth is we never know the time. When God comes back, he comes back in a twinkling of an eye, that fast. I ain't trying to scare you. I could care less if you're scared. That's on you, not me. But we are not promised tomorrow, and we need to get that deep in our spirit, and God's given us the power. He's planted inside of us, and he wants us to live like he called us to live, not like we want to live. Now, let me keep going. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. If you're there, say amen. And if not, again, hey, old me, I've got this on the screen. Let me read the word of God again. It says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up. Man, I'm having a hard time not preaching right now. See, the problem today is we asleep. We slumber. I could really care less who thinks you crazy or looks at you like you got three. I really just don't care. When you walk onto Cedarville University, you walk onto Rice State campus, you walk onto Wittenberg's campus, I walk onto all of them. When I walk in there, it's no different than the prisons, the jails, or the streets of Springfield, or your job. When you walk in there, you walk in the power and the might of Jesus Christ. When you begin to speak to the darkness that's on every campus and every job and every place and every other part of the world, when you begin to speak the name of Jesus Christ, things begin to happen. And we don't come to church to play patty cake. We come to the unleash the power inside of you today, amen. We come to bring the power of a living God. Everybody say, oh. Listen to me, keep going now. I try to keep my, because our, listen, I got to, it's time for you to wake up from the slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is, in verse 12, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, but listen, not in dissension or jealousy, but listen to verse 14, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. What in the world does that all mean? Hey, man. What's all that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. You excited about that? Amen. Listen. Everybody go ahead and pinch the flesh. Pinch it real hard. Still there, ain't it? So we're dealing with flesh, and all of us, none of us excluded. When you begin to look at verse 12 and 13, it talks about the night. When it says the night, and listen, it says right here. Let me go back and find it. In verse 12, it says, the night is nearly over. Do you know what that's talking about? It's talking about the present evil. It's talking about what you're going through right now. If you got kids, you say, man, I never thought my kids would be going through that, seeing that, acting like that. I was just in school just a few years ago, and man, they didn't have to deal with that. Look, that's been going on for a long time. It's going on a long time, and I believe God's just about done with the nonsense, don't you? You can believe it or not believe it. I believe it with everything inside of me. I think he's just about done with it. Amen. But listen to me. As the night refers to the present evil time, but the day, it talks about the day. The day refers to the time of Christ's return. So then you put it together. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. You hear me? It's time for us to quit sitting back in a slumber sleep, and it's time for us to wake up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or are we going to be where God wants us to be when he comes? Or are we going to be where we're not supposed to be? Paul considers this. Listen, Paul's got a consideration here that I want to share with you. Everybody say attitude. Everybody say attitude. Now, you know anybody's got any attitude? I have people I talk to, you know, some of them women I ain't very good at. Let me tell you right now. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, she's in here. Yeah, it's not my wife, right? I'm just joking. But you know who you are when you do act like that, right? But it's talked about attitude. Paul considers attitude as important as actions. Listen, your attitude is just as important. Here's the problem, church. You think that all of a sudden that you got saved and your attitude is, well, if God ever just kind of shoves me into it, if the good Lord's will, I'll be healed. It is his will for you to be healed, amen? It is his will for you to do the word of God. It is his will for you to eliminate all your sorry excuses and everything that you have that keeps you from doing what he called you to do. Everybody getting mad at me now. That's all right. I can handle it. But listen, quit making excuses, all right? Will and I talked. Will's got me pumped up for this morning. Everybody's got excuses, but they ain't none of them going to wash with the Lord when he comes back. He called, he's equipped, he's placed inside of you a word that has to be preached and taught. Everybody still with me? All right. Paul considers attitude as important as action. Just to listen to this. I got just a couple words. You don't think your action is that important as your attitude. Listen, the attitude of hatred. The attitude of hatred leads to murder. You ask everybody in murder, say, well, I hated them, man. You know most of the murders are not random. There's someone that knew someone who hated someone, right? And when you begin to ask them, listen to this, attitude resulted in action. I hate them, so I murdered them. I couldn't forgive them, so they killed me. Because if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven, the Word says. I know we didn't like that, but let me keep going. Jealousy. Now, jealousy, ain't nobody covets nothing. We ain't, none of us got no idols, and we ain't looking at your stuff and thinking we need it, and coveting and jealousy. Listen, jealousy leads to strife. Oh, here's one we can all relate to. Let me read it, make sure I got it written right. Yep, I've got it. Lust, the lust of the eyes. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustful upon a woman. We've got to begin to make the covenant. Not that the enemy's not going to come and distract you and entice you. It's going to happen. But the problem is that when we don't take control over it, we like to put it on the rotisserie and roll it and barbecue it. It ain't that bad. I like it. Well, everybody, sin looks pretty good. Sin ain't that bad. And then you give in to sin. Listen, lust becomes idolatry. Amen? Lust becomes idolatry. Everybody still with me on this? When Christ returns, he wants to find his people clean inside and out. We must not give our desires any opportunity to lead us into the sin path. You may be in a mess right now. Listen to me, church. I want to talk to you personally. You might be in a mess right now that you've created or someone's drug you into, but God can turn your mess into a message today. He can take your mess of unbelief and turn it into a message of faith. He can take your drug addiction and turn it into a message of deliverance. He can take a broken marriage and turn it into a message of hope and restoration. Right now, you need to believe that you are bigger than your circumstances and the things that's sitting before you today trying to entice you and trying to drag you down. God is bigger than those circumstances. You are bigger than your dilemma. You are on fire and hell is raging mad at you. You need to understand the power of a God that is within you, and you need to wake up. You need to wake up. Amen. If I can ever make you understand how powerful you really are. That's what I hope for every day when I pray for you. God, let me deliver the message that they know how powerful they are in you. There will be no stopping you from prayer, from outreach, no stopping you from accomplishing the things that God has created you and called you to do. You need to say, I can give a Bible study. I can go to the jails. I can go and clean the church. My wife shouldn't be the one to clean the church every Monday morning by herself. And on Tuesday, it shouldn't be Beth Ann by herself. We are a body of believers, and we should be in this together no matter what. We are a body of believers trusting God to lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. Can you say amen? Amen. I can pray for the sick. I can witness to the lost. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Or I can make every excuse in the book why I can't do it. That's my only day off. Well, let me tell you, on my only day off, I visit the incarcerated. I go to see you in the hospital. I pray for you when nobody else will pray for you. I'll meet you in your devastation, your heartbreak, and everything else. And we should do that and reciprocate that as a body of believers to the people that God's placed in your life. Remember, he said, I made a deposit in you. So all of a sudden, we quit worrying about, well, that's my only day off. I only get 2 days off. I only get 1 day off. I only get a half day off. Oh, man, I can't do it because my kids, my this, my that. I've heard it all. You can throw it all out there. Or you can say, I don't know how, God, but if you equip me, you'll definitely ship me. And all of a sudden, you can see how God, everybody mad at me or something? Everybody looking at me, the arms crossed and the jaws all tight. Sorry. I'm going to keep reading what he gave me, all right? It says that we got to come to this place where we can say we can do it instead of saying we can't do it. We'll say we are instead of saying we're not. We'll come to the place where we say, here, Lord, am I, use me. And when he begins to use us, understand that it's he that called you, not the pastor and not the people. My job is to challenge you to grow in your faith. It's time to rise to the occasion. It's time to set our eyes on the dreams for tomorrow and stop living in defeat of the past by making up sorry excuses that will not hold water with Jesus Christ. We are the children of the Most High. Listen to me. I want you to say it with me. We are the children of the Most High. Now, when we get this in our spirit, and 1 John qualifies this, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we begin to look at this and begin to understand that God, we are children of the Most High. We're somebody. This power that's inside of us, man, get rid of the lame excuses we have not to do what God's called you to. God has called you to greatness. He's called you to ministry. God's called you to go forward. You guys want to be shouting right there. Let me try it again in the way here. Let me keep going. All right, I'm not doing very good, but I'm going to do better, all right? Here we go. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. All right, now we're getting somewhere, because all of a sudden we begin to understand. I don't want to hear that message. I'm sick and tired of that preacher asking me to do this and do that. Look, I don't care if you do anything. But if you'll do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you, he will build you up, he will lift you up, he will speak through you, he will use you in a way that will blow your mind. See, you're so hung up on what you used to be and where you came from that you can't get to what God's got for you. You got to shake it off and you got to allow God to use you to take you to where he wants you to go so you can drag some people along with you. Can you shout amen? Amen. Well, the word I've got is wake up and let's get going. Everybody say wake up. Let's have the soul-winning revival in this church that we've all been waiting for as a nation. Let's have those miracles that we've all been hearing about when we see people set free from sickness. Let's see those lost come to God. God can take the worst situation and he can turn it around. God can take the job situation and give you a raise when you think you're getting ready to get fired. He can take the lost child and he can save them. God can take the worst of worst and make it the best of best. God is waiting on us to believe. I refuse to die in my dilemma today. No matter where you're at, no matter what's coming against you, you refuse to die in your dilemma, amen. God said, I've left in you a deposit that you can walk on water. We talked about it last week. Is anybody going to walk on any water today? Or are you just going to stay in the boat all week and wishy-washy and say, God surely didn't call me. And all of a sudden, this crazy old farm boy receives Jesus Christ and he begins to walk up in crack houses. I begin to speak to darkness in the name of Jesus. I begin to come to the Muslims and let them know I have a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ that died for you too. I begin to tell people that everybody's made in his image. I begin to tell people when they say, are you racist? I say, racist? My Bible says we all one race, amen. I begin to tell people, they say, are you sexist? I said, sexist? We are one race from one father, and we are going to win this nation at any cost. See, all of a sudden the excuses start falling away, and all of a sudden everything everybody else has said and done don't matter no more. Listen, I have people my whole life tell me I would never amount to nothing, and they might still think that. But the truth is this, stronger is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know the word is the living word. It's not a word of yesterday. It's a word of today also. And we've got to begin to walk in what God has called us to. Can you give him a hand? Yes, we got to wake up. That's what we need to do. You don't have any idea of what God is about to do in your life. I'm praying that God will mess you up. If you don't want to be messed up by God, you're in the wrong church. Amen? Amen. We got to wake up. You have got to get down in yourself and discover by your own grace. Listen to me. I'm going to read this just like I got it, because this is for someone here today. You ready for it? I got it. God, whoever this is for, speak it to him when I read it. Here it is. You have to get down in yourself and discover your own greatness in the Holy Ghost. You got to reach way down inside and say, God, whatever you created me for, here am I. God, whatever you want to do, so be it. God, your will, not my will. We need to understand that the Holy Ghost is the power of God that lives inside of us. It's within us. It's hidden. We're hidden in him. And all of a sudden, we'll allow God in us. Listen, the song goes, God in us, the hope of glory. God in us, the hope of glory. God in you, the hope of glory. God in you, the hope of glory. Do you have it today? Is God in you? Is there a hope of glory? Amen. We begin to understand we can't let God's dream for us die. His dream is for us to come to where he is. There is too much greatness inside of you. There is way too much greatness inside of you for you to just sit back and be defeated by the devil in that little puny trial that you're in today. It's time for you to walk in the call that God's called you to. I'm going to scream, wake up, until I get every one of y'all's attention. Until I can get you to wake up to the fact that God wants to do something great in your life. Listen, I ain't trying to be mean to nobody, but if you struggle hearing this message, if the devil's sitting on your shoulder putting you to sleep, you might want to do a spiritual check. You might want to go ahead and everybody just do it with me so we don't call nobody out. Put your hands on there. Come on, put it on there. Are you alive? Amen. Then God's calling on you to do what you're supposed to do. Can you say amen? Amen. God wants to use you for greatness. Wake up to the fact that God has something in store for you better than what you have now. You are the power. You are powerful. You are anointed. You are the children of the Most High God. You are more than an overcomer, and you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Say amen, everybody. If this world would ever realize how great God is, then we can never, ever be defeated again. Listen, the most important thing, some of the best examples I've ever seen, is when I, as the pastor, go to console someone who's lost a loved one. When I go to someone who's just lost a child, you know, I've never did that, praise God. But I'll go to them and I'll say, listen, the Bible says, I'm thinking, God, I don't know if I could do this. But I begin to hold their hands, and then they begin to pray for me. They said, God, give my pastor, give him strength. It's okay, because I'm going to serve you, because someday I'm going to see my baby again, amen? And all of a sudden, the Word's alive. And all of a sudden, all of us, picking on me, all of us of shallow faith or little faith, all of a sudden we can see God revitalize us and bring us alive again. We have to understand who we are, who we represent here on earth, and who God's using today. We are God's children. He will accomplish whatever we will allow him to. He will accomplish whatever we will allow him to, because he's a perfect gentleman. He's waiting on us. The worst time in your life, listen to me. Some of you are going through it right now. The worst time in your life, are you going through it today? I'm telling you, the worst time in your life is the best time of your life for God to do the supernatural through you. He'll take his super and put on your natural. Listen, I remember being suicidal. I remember being depressed. I remember all the bad stuff that the enemy had for me. But then I moved to the other side of the comma, but Christ came so I could have a life of abundance. No matter where your trial's at today, I'm not belittling your trials. Don't take it that way. I've had them too, and I've had a lot of them. God wants to move you from the steal, kill, and destroy to the life of abundance. That's where we're moving to. We must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 6, it says, and without faith, it says it's impossible. Everybody say it's impossible. Without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible. So when you don't have faith for the situation, it is impossible. When you do not have faith for what you're going through today, it is impossible. When you don't have faith for what you're going through today, it is absolutely, utterly impossible. You hear me? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must, it didn't say maybe, should, or must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. No matter what the trial is, God has always took the least of all humanity to accomplish his will. Some examples I got here as I work towards the close. Abraham was an idol worshiper. Abraham was an idol worshiper and become father of all. Amen? Listen, he took farmers and fishermen and tax collectors and harlots to bring his word to pass. He took those that didn't think they could ever be used, and he took the least of to conform the greatest of. He took what looked like a mess, and he gave it a message. Paul penned this in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 27 through 29. But God chose the foolish things. Everybody say foolish things. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and choose the weak things. Man, when I'm weak, he's strong. Hallelujah. God, I don't want to do it. He said, that's okay. You just keep calling on my name. I got you. Some of you right now need to be calling on God and say, God, I'm weak. God, I have a need. God, I'm hurting, and I need you, that only you can fix this. Listen, I see it on your face, some of you in here right now, and I don't want you to look around. Some of you are hurting so bad right now you can't stand it. Some of you right now can't hardly wait for the sermon to be over so you can get to this altar. Don't even wait on it. I'll stop the sermon. It's time for you to understand that God wants to meet you in your weakness, and he wants to be your strength. It's time for you to understand it's not about you, but it's about what he's going to do with you. Can you shout amen? God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. In verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. So that no one, it ain't about you. It's about the power of a living God. Skill and wisdom do not get a person into God's kingdom. It's not about how smart you are, your education, or how much money you have. It's simple faith that gets you where you need to be. It looked impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have a child in their old age, but all things are possible to them that believe. It looked impossible for Moses and the Israelites to take a stick and open up the Red Sea, but all things are possible through God who strengthens you. But it was possible through God, and it still is today. It looked impossible for David, a ruddy, as it says, a ruddy red nose or red hair, he's ruddy, a little guy, okay, 16 years old. It looked like it was impossible for him to go up against that 9-foot-plus giant of Goliath and defeat him. But when he would speak, everyone, the entire military army would just cower and walk away. It looked impossible for David. It looked impossible that he could slay that 9-foot-tall giant, but God made it very possible for him. Because he told him, hey, you come against me with sword and shield, but what I come against you with, what is it? The Word of God. So no matter how big your struggle is, you take the Word of God and you begin to sling it around and know something's about to happen. Can you shout amen? Amen. See, all of a sudden, I know to some of you it looks impossible right now. I understand that. You take a handful of people here in this city and turn this little church to turn this city upside down. We're doing it. And we're not going to stop. And we're not going to grow weary. And we're going to go forward. No matter what the cost is, God, here are we. Use us. Some of us you right now are thinking, why in the world did God call me from Woodstock and St. Paris and Urbana and Huber Heights and all the places you come from? Why in the world did God call? I'm asking the same question. God, why in the world did you call me from Northridge, a comfortable outskirt church? Why did you call me to get in here in the inner city and do urban ministry? God, why? Well, I'm already past all that. God, here am I. Use me. See, you come to the place where all of a sudden you begin to say, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to do anything you ask me to do. It doesn't look impossible to God, is what I'm trying to tell you. When God calls you, God will equip you and God will ship you. As I close, I got a question. Are you ready to awake to the fact that you are a powerful source? Are you ready today to awake that you are a powerful source for God? Are you ready? Listen, that's what I've been preaching to you from Jeremiah today and Romans and 1 Corinthians, and it goes on and on. See, church, I want you to know something. Cedarville University, a few of you are here. I want you to know something. It happened to Cedarville 6 years ago. You remember? We went down there and we set that place on fire, man. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the same thing happened at Wittenberg University 6 or 7 years ago. We walked on campus and set the place on fire. We didn't go set fire, no. If there's any arson going on there, it wasn't us, all right? But listen, we went in there and we began to praise the Lord, man. We began to walk in the middle and claim it for victory, amen. I don't care about all the cutting going on. I don't care about everybody cheating, and I don't care about everybody drinking. I don't care about everybody cursing and using God's name in vain. When I walked inside of there and I began to, God, you right now in the name of Jesus, rise them up, and God, let them be a light into a lost world. Listen, that is exactly the word we use. God, allow them to be a light into the lost world. Now, I don't know about now, but I know the people from that time and that era. Today they're church leaders. Today they're pastors. Today they're in China. Today they're in Africa. Today they're everywhere, and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that it's time for us to quit getting lazy, and it's time for us to move these young people into the next generation to begin and to throw the fuel on us, not a lost or a dead generation. Our job is to ignite their faith, amen. Our job is to see their wickets trimmed back. It's time to watch their light grow, amen. And all of us from the 90 all the way down has a job to be able to speak that wisdom, our failures and our mess ups and everything else, and begin to tell the young people, let your wick burn and let your candlestick go forth in the name of Jesus. God has got something for this nation. Can you shout amen? Oh, yes. Well, here it is. Are you ready to wake up to the fact that you are a powerful source in the hands of a mighty God, which is Christ Jesus, which dwells in us? When you find that out, you're going to be unstoppable. In closing, in John chapter, I got two scriptures for you in closing. John chapter 14, they'll put it on the board for you. In John chapter 14, verses 12 and 14, very, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Does anybody here believe that? Raise your hand. Raise both hands if you believe it. Yeah. Young people and old people alike. It doesn't matter if you start believing what the Word says, man, and the Word's in you, and the Word becomes Word, you become the Word. You can't hold on to the Word without becoming the Word, amen? And all of a sudden, God will move through you, and he'll quicken your spirit, and you'll speak to darkness in the name of Jesus Christ, and it'll be gone. You'll speak to cancer, and it'll be delivered. You'll speak to the drug addiction in your family, and it'll be cast out as far as the east is to the west. All of a sudden, you'll begin to speak to those generational curses of finances in the name of Jesus Christ. I claim victory today. Now, you might have to go through some circumstances today, but let me tell you, God's word says, I have appointed, and I have placed it in you, and I've got something for you. But what you got to do is you got to unleash the spirit of a living God that's inside of you and let it well up like a water fall and begin to splash on everything that you touch and everywhere you go. It says you're blessed in your comings and you're blessed in your goings. Don't matter where you go, he said, I got you covered, amen. And all of a sudden when you ain't, I've been there and I'm telling you, I've been there when you ain't got nothing to eat, amen. I've been there when I've been homeless, amen. I've been there when I've been shipwrecked, breached, broke, busted, and disgusted. And now that I can look at that and I come into those times and I begin to praise the name of a Jesus Christ in heaven, amen. All of a sudden, then something happens around me, and he begins to change the circumstances of what the enemy wants to do. Is the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and to keep my ministry from going forward just like yours. But all of a sudden, when I begin to call on that omnipresent God, and I begin to call him into the situation, all of a sudden, God stands up, and he begins to walk before you. And the Bible said that if he's before you, who in this world can be against you? Amen. So it doesn't matter where you've been at. It's where you're headed to. Amen. Man, God has got something for you today. If you allow that to come alive inside of your inner temporals and you begin to know that there's a spirit of a living God, listen, there's a part of a triune God that lives inside of you. It's a Holy Spirit deposit that was left inside of you. When you begin to know that he's ready to wake that giant up inside of you, when you know that he's ready without a shadow of a doubt for you to start walking in victory and not defeat, when all of a sudden you know that there's a freedom that you don't have to look back to the past, that you can go to the future, when you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're created in the greatness of our Savior Jesus Christ, when you know that you know that you know there ain't nothing can shut you down, amen. Praise his holy name. It says that whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and he says, I will do it. Now, see, I'm not no name and claim a preacher, so don't take it that way. All of a sudden, God's asking for you to line up so he can do what he's already promised you to do, amen. He ain't asking you to do anything except become the Word of God. And when you become the Word of God, all of a sudden, he'll begin to give you territory that you know you don't deserve. He'll give you forgiveness that you know that you're not worthy of. You know that all of a sudden, he'll redeem you, and he'll begin to use you, and ain't nobody knows your mess better than you, amen. But then all of a sudden, you begin to know Jesus. Well, let me tell you what Jesus isn't saying, okay? I've heard this preached wrong, but it says Jesus is not saying that his disciples would do more amazing miracles. That's not what he's saying. Listen, everybody said, nah, I disagree with you. Okay, you can disagree. It's all right. How in the world do you get a greater miracle than raising someone from the dead? Amen? Y'all, I'm over, but you guys want to hear a story? Let me tell you a story about old me of little faith. Okay, I was in Mexico, and we have a mission in Mexico. It's in Tecomate, Mexico. It's the only place you're not supposed to go as Americans, and it's still off limits, and it's in the base of the drug wars. But you know that's where God will give me land. Hey, that's the way he's funny, isn't he? So I get there, and this great big, they call me Gringo. I get off the bus, and I got some other people with me. Man, I'm here to save the world. I'm excited, man. I get there, got my video camera rolling, jump off the bus. They begin to kick me, spit on me, slap me. You see the camera going everywhere. I said, I'll knock your teeth out. Come here, man. What's wrong with you? That's exactly what happened. That's what happened. But when I got there, the first time I was there for 2 or 3 weeks, it was something that happened. There was something that happened. Every other time I've been back here, something's happened. Unbelievable. But the first time I was there, old me of little faith, say, pastor's got little faith. Go ahead. Shame on you. Will, only one said it, I think. But listen, I'm in there, I'm walking around. I just obtained something I didn't want, salmonella poisoning. The other pastors all flew back, and there's me. And I don't know why God treats me like this. Sometimes I get mad at him. But they're rearranging flights and everything else. And I said, yeah, get me out of here, man. And if you ain't never had it, man, you don't want it. So I'm over there, I'm doubled over, and I'm laying. I go back and get in the bed so I can whine and complain. You hear what I'm telling you? Same thing I've preached for the last 35 minutes. And all of a sudden, if you're obedient to the Spirit of a living God, God spoke to me as plain as day. He said, I did not bring you over here for you to curl up in that bed and whine. I didn't call you over here to go back. He said, don't you know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy? But I came so you could have and they can have a life of abundance. I've created a ministry inside of you in Tecomate, Mexico. Now you get up out of that bed and you get to walking. I said, God, I know you ain't talking to me. Get behind me, Satan. But it was the Lord. So everybody else went back, and I got my other entourage of interpreters and stuff. I said, let's go. I said, you go to every house, and you tell them to get ready. I said, because I'm coming, tell them to keep the bathroom open. And they said, all right, I'll tell them. So that's exactly, it might be funny, but it wasn't real funny at the time. Amen. So I went to every house, hundreds and hundreds of homes inside that village, and I watched a revival break out inside of Tecomate, Mexico. And let me tell you what it started with. Old me of great faith and obedience, absolutely not. It started with this guy here of little faith that said, I'm sick and I want to go back. I can feel everything. The flesh was screaming out loud, but God said, I didn't call you to go backwards. I called you to go forward. Do you hear me, church? But see, all of a sudden, let me tell you, I ain't done yet. But all of a sudden, the first thing that happens, I walk into this house, and he's a father of many, many kids. I think 20 kids or 18 kids or something like that. I walked in, and he's on a rope bed, if you've ever seen him. And he's got bugs or flies all over him. He's dead, and it's nasty. But I walk in there, and they said, man, if your God, if your God, I said, what are they saying, man? I said, you're interpreting wrong. What'd they say? He said, that's what they said. If your God is that good, raise our father up. And I said, let me ask you a question. Does your father know Jesus Christ? And they told me, no, we're Catholic, and this is how we believe. I was like, that's weird. But Krenigan vouched for this, too. You know what I did? I walked in there. Well, I was arrogant for the Lord. I walked in there. I said, come in power. Walked out of the bed and said, oh, Lord God. Lord, I don't even know what to say right now. And I was scared to death. And all those kids was in this room and all these grandkids. And the flies was everywhere. And I began to look at that dead body. And I said, God, I don't know what you want me here for. And I don't know what you're trying to do. And I don't even have the faith. But if it's your will that that man rise up so I can lead him to you, Lord, rise him up. You know what happened, right? He rose up. It freaked me out. Okay, I don't know if you've ever seen a dead body rise, but it freaked me out. We led that man to the Lord, and his revival broke out in that village because someone had enough faith to do just exactly what God called him to do. Yeah. When you begin to think about that, you don't even have to believe it. I really don't care if you believe it or not. It comes back to this. Are you willing to do what God called you to do? Are you willing to speak to something dead in your life? Are you willing to say, you know what, I did that wrong, and everybody says that's killing me, or that's a trip hold, or I'll never make it, or I'll never go forward? Are you willing to speak to that dead thing in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and get going, because today I come with the power and the might of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to speak to the dead thing? As we rise over the house and the praise and worship team makes their way back up, I want you to hear me loud and clear. Jesus is telling us, after all, raising the dead is about as amazing as you can get. Rather, the disciples working in the power of the Holy Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit. I'm preaching now, amen. Listen, I'm telling you, it says that working in the power of the Holy Spirit, things will be accomplished. Would you carry the gospel of God into the kingdom, into the whole world, and do what he's called you to do? Are you willing to go speak to that old dead body laying on a rope bed and say, I don't have no faith, God, but you are God. And right now, I call upon your name, and you watch that dead thing rise up so you can do what God told you. See, you got some dead things that's been around you a long time. They're called generational curses. Amen. You got stuff that's been around you from generation to generation to generation. I'm telling you, young and old alike, it's time for you to speak to it in the name of Jesus. Time for that mess to become a message. Amen. It's time for your past to become the past and for you to go into the future and the present right where God's got you. You know what I'm talking about. And you know the curse has followed you and your family. And you guys have dressed it up and put clothes and hats and everything else on it to make it look good. And it's time right now today that you speak to that old dead thing in the name of Jesus. And you say, you get up and you get going right now in the name of Jesus. In Numbers, in the last scripture I want to share with you. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he could change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Now listen, I want to share this with you. Man, when I seen that, that's my closing scripture. And I thought, man, I would have preached at the beginning too. God ain't no liar. Whatever he told you he's going to do, I don't care how messed up you made it or I made it, he's about to see it through. I don't care what you've killed or what's dead in your life, he's about to bring it to life. I don't care whatever we've done wrong, he's about to make it right. Whatever's been knocked down, he's about to stand it up. Whatever you've got that's an affliction right now or a generational curse or a sickness, God says, I'm here and I'm bigger than all that stuff. Are you ready to check it today? Let me read this to you. Now, this is another scripture taken out of context. It says, we can now say that God is man, the son of man. However, he is not like all of us other men, that he has no sin, but he is holy like God. He is holy like God. What Balaam was referring to is men's sinfulness and their resilient fickleness. God is not like a fallen man, so don't confuse it, amen? We're the ones that's fallen. Amen. Listen, let me finish. This does not preclude God from ever becoming a man, but only forbids that God should ever become like a fallen man, being untrustworthy, lying, or falling to keep his word. Listen, he will not become like us because he is a living God, and he is God who sits in heaven, and he is sitting at the right hand of our Father. He is interceding for us. He is a triune God, and he did leave a deposit for you today. It's called the Holy Spirit. And today, we got to come to the place of understanding. We got to come to the place as they begin to play praise and worship. I want you to just come forward as you see fit. But I want you to remember this. What's dead in you that needs to be woke up? What is it that needs to wake up? What is it that needs to unleash the power inside of you? What's been holding you back from the beginning? What is it that's going to bring you to where God wants you? Let God take your messed up life and use it. Turn your mess into the message that he created for you. In Jesus' name, the altar's open.